Strange.
Invisible.
Energy.
Voice.
Guider.
Powerful.
Mysterious.
Waiting.
Present.
Holy.
Feeling.
Comforter.
Advocate.
Flame.
Witness.
Revealer.
Sealer.
Peacemaker.
Shield.
Ghost.
Dreamlike.
Breath.
Manifestation.
Tranquil.
Constant.
Dove.
Abstract.
Enigmatic.
Loving.
Supernatural.
Eternal.
Shapeless.
Invited.
Sacred.
Elevated.
God.
Today we're going to be talking about a spiritual gift that, quite frankly, can be controversial. And so I would ask, even as we jump into this time, that we would open our hearts, as we've been doing, to the Word. Remember the context. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you wouldn't mind, jump into that. Actually, stick your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also in chapter 14. We're going to be going back and forth. Hopefully you got some notes. But here's the context of 1 Corinthians. This is a church that is filled with the gifts that Paul has planted. But they're also a mixture of different groups of people, most of which are not in have a Jewish context and background. And so they're starting to like interweave these foreign practices into this obviously supernatural thing that the Lord is doing at the inception of the church. And what you find is that the gift of tongues is one of the gifts which was prevalent among that body. The only problem is that it was interrupting what God wanted to do. Literally, you would have people jumping up in the middle of the service, one after another, speaking in this language that nobody understood. So that is the context that we are jumping in. So go with me really quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Stand with me for the reading of God's word. Chapter 12, verses 4, 5 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Chapter 14, verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and I speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds such as a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, the trumpet does not sound a clear call. Who will get ready for battle? So it is with you, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. And then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying. I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now in a position of inquiry say amen to your thanksgiving? Since they do not know what you are saying, you are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil by infants, but in your thinking be adults. In the law, it is written, with our tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquiries or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. This is the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you for what you have been doing and what you will do this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open up our ears to hear what you are saying. I pray that you would move, Lord. I pray in all the things that we do that you would be glorified. Now, God, I pray not just for this church overflow, but for every church in our area. Spirit, that you would be moving in Benton Harbor, in Fair Plain, in Stevensville, in St. Joseph, in Coloma, in Berrien Springs, in Niles, in Kalamazoo, all these places, Lord, that your spirit would be falling afresh on all the hearts. Now, Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear, not more head knowledge about you, but our hearts would be moved, Lord, that you'd move this wisdom from head to heart, heart to hands and feet, calling us to respond how you desire in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, you may be seated. I want to start by recognizing that, again, this gift right here is an interesting one. It brings about a ton of controversy because it's really hard to understand. To some people which kind of view this gift on the outside, let's just call it what it is. It can seem like it is crazy and chaotic. You've probably heard people make jokes, you know, they're praying and they're like, should have bought a Honda or something like that, you know, and like that's a tongue. I guess, whatever. But it can look weird. It can look at like this like thing that's happening in this unorganized way that is making the people behave weirdly, and it seems like it's not really spiritual. For others, for those on the inside who may have grown up in a Christian church that is more prone to the gifts of the Spirit may have come from what is called a charismatic background. You may have been there and your church may have felt split, or you may have felt split because it's like, okay, there's something that's happening here and there's some type of hierarchy. Those which can speak in tongues or whatever seem a little bit more spiritual. And maybe you were part of those communities and you're like, man, I don't belong here. Like, maybe I don't have enough Jesus. To those maybe which have been in churches, you landed somewhere and all of a sudden you just saw people like just going at it. And like there was no interpretation. There was no like warning. It was just people just going like crazy and speaking in tongues, and you're just like, what is happening here? And you're just like, man, I don't want any parts of that. I want to start off by just recognizing that this gift, for whatever reason, has become this like almost this dividing line in the church. And it's sad, honestly, because it is a gift of the Spirit to the church for the building up of the body. It is something like we just read right here in the scriptures that the apostle Paul says, hey, I pray in tongues more than you all. Like, this is something like that I pray for. This is something that we should desire. But the truth is, again, it has become this like lightning rod. So today, what I want to do is that I want us to have a posture of allowing the scripture to speak, setting aside your preconceived notions of what this is. I love last week, I ran into somebody who was like, when we were talking about prophecy, they said to me, hey, Pastor Elijah, like, man, I just appreciate the way that you shared about prophecy. At the same time, I don't understand it, but I'm eager to find out more. And so that's what I want, right? And I'm trying to set the table for us because, like, again, I know that already when you hear this topic, when you hear these words, like, your mind is probably filled with all these different ideas. I also want to say, listen, this is what I believe, right? That, like, is faithful, that what I'm sharing is faithful to the church, like, faithful to the word, faithful to the church that I see it. But I also have brothers and sisters in the Lord which are standing up today all over pulpits in America which think differently, that also love Jesus vehemently. And so that's okay. I will see them in heaven and I'll be like, see, you were wrong, you know? I'm joking. But like, all will be made clear someday. Again, so like what I want you to say is that I'm putting myself under the authority of Scripture and I'm coming to this with humility. It is your job to be faithful to the text and to continue to inquire of the Holy Spirit to give you direction for His Word, right? So that's the posture that I want us to start off with. So let's go ahead and jump in. What is the gift of tongues? I'm going to put up a definition for you right here on the screen. The gift of tongues is the ability to speak in a language that you have not learned and that you do not understand. 1 Corinthians 14, 6 through 11, Paul uses these analogies that we read to emphasize why it is important for the interpretation of tongues. At the same time, as you read that passage, he is also communicating what tongues actually is. First, he compares them to this musical instrument, like a flute or a harp that produces this random sounds rather than clear, meaningful notes. Without these distinct notes, no one understands the tune. No one knows how to respond. In the same way with tongues, that if no one interprets these tongues, these words, this language, they're like random notes and they fail to edify the church. We talked about this last week. The word edify just literally means to build up. Second, Paul uses this analogy of human speech. He says, if you don't speak clear, these understandable words, that it achieves nothing because no one can comprehend the message. Paul plays on the word tongue here, which can mean both like the physical organ in your body or a language. And he rebukes the Corinthians for valuing unintelligible speech for clarity. Remember what was happening. They were showing up in worship gatherings like this, right? And all of a sudden, you just had this like chaos that was erupting and people just all of a sudden jumping up and speaking, right? Because they were propping up this gift over every other gift. And he said, hey man, if there's no clarity among the body, like this means nothing. Third, he illustrates the point with this idea of a foreign language. Speaking in a language which no one understands is like a barbarian to the listener. For the Corinthians who prided themselves with this like sophistication, they were wealthy, this was this sharp reminder that this uninterpreted tongues did not serve the church's unity for the understanding when done incorrectly. Paul gives these three analogies all to reinforce that the gift of tongues, when not interpreted, is not a functional language for the gathering of the church. It must be made understandable to truly build up the church. It is, however, for the individual follower of Jesus, this deeply personal spiritual expression. I love the way New Testament scholar Michael Green puts it. It is this deeply felt love language to God. The purpose of tongues, then, is to enable the person to speak to God in prayer. Tongues enables us to praise God at a depth unknown previously. And tongues edifies the individual. And here it is. And when done appropriately, it edifies the whole body, the church. The gift of tongues appears in two primary forms. First, the public gift, the church assembly, and the private manifestation of tongues for the individual believer. For the public gift of tongues, it is used within a believer's gathering. This could operate in what has been described as unintelligible tongues, right? So some people have called it like angelic tongues, these words. It's not quite any language that is known to man. So somebody starts going and you're like, oh man, I don't understand or whatever. Like this is that, there's that. And then there's languages here on the earth. So it's the idea, just like we see in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord comes down, the Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire. They're filled with the Spirit and they start speaking in people's different native languages. And all of a sudden, like they're able to understand, right? Everyone's able to understand the praising of the Lord in their own tongue. I'll give you another example. My dad, when he was younger, he was a young pastor. He felt like the Lord had called him to come to America to go to this specific camp meeting. I was not born yet. I think this was before he had met my mom. And so he comes to America. And he had raised this money, but it was only enough basically to get him there. And he's at what was called back in the day. How many remember camp meetings or like revivals? Anybody? Okay. So he comes to this camp meeting. He's from Africa in America. He knows English, but like still learning how to do it well, how to speak it well. And he has no place to go, but he just believes he's supposed to be in that place. At this time, he has no desire of coming to America. He has this missionary heart, and he's just hungry because there's this conference, right, where God is moving. He gets there, and he's just like, Lord, what do I do? Where do I sleep? Where do I go? And so he goes to the chapel after service. Everybody's left, and he's just there, and he's just praying. He's like, God, did I make a mistake? Am I going to have to sleep like outside today? Like I stepped out on faith. I believe like you were going to do something. Would you communicate to me that like you have called me here? There's another gentleman who's in the chapel, who's praying as well. And all of a sudden, he starts talking to my dad in my dad's native language. And so he's like talking and praying. And so my dad is like, oh my God, like who is this guy? Like his pronunciation of the words, like all of this is so crystal clear. And so afterwards they start talking and he's like, hey man, have you ever been to Zimbabwe? Like how were you able to speak like that? And he's like, Zimbabwe, what are you talking about? And my dad's like, no, you were speaking perfect Shona. That's my native language back in Africa. He's like, you were speaking native Shona, man. Like that was like really good. Like, did you have like friends or family or a class or whatever? And he says, no, like I was just praying in English. And all of a sudden, right, him and my dad start connecting. And he got my dad a place to stay for the entirety of the conference. And later on, God used them as a tool for the Shemendes to come to America. I'm saying that to say that, like, there's something that happens with this. There's either this unintelligible language or this, like, language that comes out, right? And tongues is a way to break down the barrier because God is trying to speak in that moment. Are you with me? So, just like in Acts 2, there's this movement of language. There's this unintelligible language that comes on later in the scriptures. And Paul communicates this idea that this gift is for the church, that it's actually for the good of the church. Paul's main message in 1 Corinthians 14 is that Christians here, though, can misuse it in the gathering of believers. So here's what he says. It is better that there is clear interpretation so that there isn't confusion. Why? So that the church can be built up. Paul's not simply arguing that, like, this tongue should be thrown around haphazardly or should be forgotten, but he's saying that there's something beautiful that happens, just like for my dad, that can happen for the whole community, for the whole body, that it is meaningful that we eagerly desire this gift, but we desire it in this appropriate way. That when it happens in the worship gathering, that there is supposed to be a divine order to it. So that's how it appears in the public setting. But then in private manifestation of tongues, there is this idea that tongues are supposed to build us up as the individual, as we get before the Lord, that there's something that happens as we go to God in prayer, that there's a welling up in our hearts that goes beyond just like this simple moment when words begin to fail, right? Like it is God taking us to that next level. And this is where this could be maybe not like a language like my dad's language, Shona or Spanish or something like that. The tongues are actually a way that are fruitful for our spirit. In verse 14, Paul says it like this: "For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what I shall do, I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding." He's making the distinction again. Remember, for the public gathering, but also for the individual gathering. But there is a way to pray in the spirit to God in this deep way that brings about this fruitful manifestation and deep relationship with God. That is a way that it can stir up our emotions and our hearts for God. That you can go to a place that's deeper in your relationship. It is a gift for the individual. That God may be saying that he wants you to go a little bit deeper. And I love this because Paul in different areas continues to hone in on what these ideas can look like of going in deeper prayer. That you can go in deeper prayer in the act of spiritual warfare. Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh or blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness in high places. That the enemy sometimes is at work in a way, and our weapon of warfare is prayer. And you can actually use this gift of praying in the spirit to push back against the forces of darkness. He says that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, "And pray in the spirit," this is the context, "and all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Now, I want to give some context. That's not saying to pray in the spirit doesn't mean only to speak in tongues, but it also means to speak in tongues. That you can be praying against the forces of darkness that are in this world that try to capture the hearts of the people around us in the spirit, and that God can start welling up inside of you because there's things maybe that God wants to engage in a spiritual world, right? That, like, maybe we don't understand. And all of a sudden, you're welled up in this beautiful way, and there's this overflow in your private prayer time, and you start praying things that maybe you don't understand, but between the Spirit and God the Father are at work pushing against the forces of darkness. to lean in on what the Spirit is doing. This urging that God would be working inside of you. Tongues can be a use for building you up spiritually inside. Creating this deep intimacy. I want to lean in on this idea because I do think that, like, sometimes because the way that it's operated in the church, we think that it's supposed to be somehow just like flaunted around. But I'm telling you, there is a beautiful intimacy with you and God when you just kind of get in your private place and you just get before the Lord. That there's this deep communion with God, as if God has given you that gift, that you can just start really just going before the Lord and just like the Lord filling you up. Those which I've seen operating this gift well and appropriately, I've seen in their lives a spiritual fervor as they engage with their friends and the people around them. That is so beautiful. They're open to what the Lord is doing. God is stirring up affections there. Again, tongues are not the only way, but they are a way for us to learn how to pray and pray deeply. Acts chapter 2 gives us this picture of the Spirit coming down, right? Like with fire, right? Like just like fire on the early church, which is in the upper room. And all of a sudden they start to speak. And you can sense it as they're praying, right? There's these praises that are going to God the Father. Now, I want you to understand this, right? Like, you're not praying for just anything. Like, if the Spirit is moving in you, the tongues are a way to glorify God. Because what was their response? What shall I do to be saved? They were hearing everyone speaking in that different language, like the praises and the mystery to God. Like that God is at work, that God is holy, that God is worthy, and it stirred up the people's hearts to say, what shall we do to be saved? Not Elijah's super spiritual. Tongues should always be a way for us to like push towards the Lord. But here it is. I want to give this warning. I want to give a couple of warnings. We're going to put them up on the screen here to the church. Because there's so many things that I think that happen with this gift because it can be so controversial. Here it is, right? That in Corinth, and still in our time, there were those who insisted that no one is truly baptized in the Holy Spirit unless they speak in tongues. Paul completely rejects that idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he reminds them that all believers have been baptized by one Spirit into one body. But both those who speak in tongues and those who do not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, he makes it even clearer. Anyone who can truly confess Jesus is Lord can only do so through the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul leaves no room for spiritual elitism. There is no hierarchy that divides believer into spirit-filled people and not spirit-filled people based on tongues. The Spirit's presence is not proven by a particular gift, but by the confession and the character of Christ in a person's life. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, I'm sorry. Paul also corrects another common misunderstanding, the idea that every Christian should speak in tongues. He teaches that spiritual gifts include tongues and are distributed by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit wills, not as we demand. The Spirit alone decides which gifts are given and to whom. I want to pause right there. There's so many people that kind of teach this idea that all you have to do is like desire the gift of tongues and you'll get it. Like, no, that is not true. That is not biblical. I know people, one pastor, famous pastor, his name is John Piper. And he's talked about often how he has prayed desperately for the gift of tongues. He has desired the gift of tongues. And he's like, God hasn't given it to me. I'm not going to stop desiring it. Are you with me? It is a gift that God gives to different people. Not because you're better than anyone. It's because God decides, this is the gift that I'm going to give to this person. Because everyone has different gifts in the body. It's like me as a father. When I give my daughter a gift, it's different than the gift that I'm giving my son. Why? Because I discern as their parent that this one needs this and this one needs that. Like, we have to understand that. Are you with me? Paul is careful to say that tongues are not a badge of spiritual maturity. The Corinthians had this gift in abundance, and yet their church was full of pride and division and sin. The gift of tongues, like all spiritual gifts, were never meant for the exaltation of a person. It was meant to serve the whole body. As Paul says in verse 7 of chapter 12, these gifts are given for the common good. For the common good. That means tongues, like every gift, must be used with humility and sensitivity. They're never to be flaunted or forced at an inappropriate time. Paul even warns in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, that when tongues are used without interpretation, it could cause confusion to outsiders and create disorder than worship. So while Paul encourages believers to be open to the gift, he is clear that it is to be used to serve the higher goal, which is the edification of what? The whole body, the church. It is the building up of others under the understanding of faith. Finally, Paul recognizes that tongues can be easily abused and become a danger instead of a blessing. When the gift becomes a source of pride and a dividing line between spiritual haves and have-nots, it distracts from the true work of the Holy Spirit. Worse, it can lead to a false theology of this two-stage Christianity that, like, you get saved and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That is not biblical, and it's not of God. Paul's message is simple. The Holy Spirit is not to make, the gift of the Spirit of tongues is not to be spectacular. It is to make us Christ-like. It's to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And the danger is when we become fascinated with the gift and not the gift giver, we lose the direction of what the Spirit is trying to do in our lives. Our rightful and appropriate response is that we should be in awe at the manifestation of the gifts that God has given us, each of us differently. Because when we do it, God is at work in our church. Church, I am sick and tired of coming into spaces like this. And again, I said this last week, only one gift is being utilized, the gift of teaching. But I wonder if we act like the way that I believe God had set his church up to act. That maybe in a gathering like this, the Lord starts welling up in someone this thing that God is trying to do, and you're open to the Spirit. And we start prophesying. We start speaking what the Lord is saying. Maybe someone has the gift of tongues and all of a sudden something wells up inside of them and like they speak it, and in order, I've been saying this over and over again, in order, they go to the elders and they say, hey, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. And someone who has the gift of interpretation says, oh, and all of a sudden we say, okay, the elders discern that like God is trying to move here and like maybe it's about healing. And so like somebody with the gift of healing in the body then operates and we pray for that person. And then maybe if the Spirit is moving, that person gets healed. But what if the church operated like that? Everyone utilizing their gifts in the rightful way, not in chaos. Like, this is where I got to pause for a second. At Overflow, no one at least under my leadership, no one will ever manifest the gift in an inappropriate way that could cause confusion. Why? Because for the unbeliever, it could cause them to walk away. But when it is done right, it builds the body. It encourages people to respond to Jesus with open hearts. Are you with me? That is the point. And if you've been given the gift, do not flaunt it. You are not more spiritual. But what you should do, you should be praying eagerly. You should be practicing it eagerly in private. And be listening to the Spirit, because maybe the Spirit is asking you to operate in public in an orderly way. Jesus says that it's good for me that I would go, so that the Spirit would come and so that he would lead us in all truth. One of the words that describes the idea of the paraclete is not just the advocate, but is the guide. And I think that the Spirit is wanting to guide the church. I'm tired of coming to church with burdens and brokenness and then leaving these places with that same brokenness and burdens. Maybe God is desiring for the church to have an encounter with his presence. I think that's what God is calling us to do. So here it is. I'm going to say it like Paul ends his time in this passage. Eagerly desire the gifts so that God may be gloried among us. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit so that God may be glorified among us. So we're going to do the same thing that we've done these last couple of weeks. We're not just going to read God's word and then move on. We're going to take the next minute and just pray. Okay, God, what is the gift that you have given to me? Would you activate it in my heart? Would you activate it in my heart? For some of you, it may be the gift of tongues. For some of you, it may be prophecy. For some of you, it may be healing. For some of you, I don't know what it is. What is it? God, don't let me just be a spectator in your kingdom. God, don't let me be a spectator in your kingdom. You want to know the revelation that I got this week? I know I said you guys are going to pray, but you want to know the revelation that I got this week? As I was hearing, as I was going through and working through this passage, I was thinking about those people with the talents. That God had given talents, and for whatever reason, I had never connected it to the gifts that God has given in the Spirit. And for so many of us, we like bury the gifts that God has given to you for the body. We bury it because we're afraid, because it may not look right, it may not feel right. God has given you something for each and every one here. God has given you something. And if there's anything that you've ever heard me say or do in Ephesians 4, God says, right, it is my job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That means to activate you. That's my job. And my prayer is that you don't stand before a holy and righteous God and say, God, I was a Christian. And God said, so what did that look like? I came and I sat down on Sundays in pews. No, my prayer is that you say, God, I doubled the talent that you gave me. I doubled that gift inside. There were neighbors, Lord, as I was praying in tongues, there were neighbors, Lord, that like needed you, like in my neighborhood, that desperately needed you, that like were tired. There was someone in my neighborhood that was desperate for you, and I walked by them, but in my prayer time with you, God, as I just got before you on my knees, and I said, God, won't you save my neighborhood? God moved. I wonder if we weep for what God weeps for. Church, I don't want this to be another place where we gather. I want this to be a place where God's gifts are being utilized to the fullest. There's a broken world out there that is in desperate need of you to be activated. So this is what I'm going to do just right now for the next minute, and we'll close off. Let's just wait before God. God, what is the gift that you've poured in me? For my city, for my neighborhood, for my friends, for my coworker. God, what is this gift so that they, you may be glorified, Jesus? That the sun may be lifted up and the world would know that you love them. That is what God is calling for us in this season. So let's go to God in prayer.